We now go to the Windsor, Detroit area, where an alien craft has just landed.
I want you men to surround the craft. Chris, you stay with me.
What are we going to do, Jeff?
We're going in.
What? They're extraterrestrials.
What are you doing here? Why have you come here?
We have come here to listen to 99.1 FM CJAM.
99.1 FM CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Good morning, Windsor. Good morning, Detroit.
That's right. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit.
Well, I'm saying good morning to them now that they're awake.
Oh, okay, yeah. They're awake now.
Our beautiful announcer voice lady has
Taylor
told
Kramer.
Taylor has told them to wake up, and I say good morning to them. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and listen to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
In our case, tea. In the morning?
We're drinking tea in the afternoon.
That's right. I'm not sure if everybody's aware, but our shows are actually pre-taped. Thus, you know, we are sometimes a little behind on the news, only because of that reason.
Yep. The news is news. We try to be as general as we can, because we'd love to be in the studio at 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, but it's just not logistically feasible.
That's right. So we pre-tape the shows a couple days beforehand, and so when we let you know about some perpetrator and so forth, they're probably already caught by time you get up and listen to the morning show.
That's right.
Which you can listen to, by the way, 99.1 FM and online at cjam.ca.
So should we get into the news now?
This here looks a little odd, doesn't it, right here? You see that? Doesn't that look a little odd?
And who is that? That's me.
Well, it's both, actually.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
So something funky may have happened there. And we won't know until a little later on, so.
Something to fix, maybe.
Possibly. At that time. We're not going to look into that right now, are we? Because the rest looks good.
The rest looks good. So what's going on with you, Big JD?
Not a heck of a lot. Just trying to enjoy the last nice days of fall.
Yes, this could be known as an Indian summer, but I think you have to have some kind of frost happen. Some kind of freezing has to take place before we call it Indian summer.
Right.
And I don't believe we've gone that cold yet.
No, not quite that cold yet. And I hope this advances like it's supposed to, because I've moved it around now. We're watching waveform here as we tape the show, and
tons of fun watching.
We usually do things a little bit differently.
Yes.
We don't pay attention to this, actually, when we do. We're trying something a little different today, so.
That's someone else's job, isn't it?
Well, it is, the interns. But there's nobody here today because it's a holiday. We're actually recording this on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Do you have anything to be thankful for?
I do. Everything.
Everything you're thankful for?
Yeah. Absolutely everything.
Your health?
Everything.
All right.
Health and welfare. yeah. I think that I'm thankful for everything. I'm thankful for just, yeah, health is an important one. I mean, without your health, you can't do anything, really.
Life is not much fun without good health, that's for sure.
Makes it a little easier, I guess.
For sure.
When you're healthy.
And you got to have your welfare check.
Yeah, I wish.
You wish you had a welfare check?
Well, yeah. And worked. It doesn't work out that way, does it?
Able-bodied men such as yourself should not have to be collecting welfare.
No, that's true. Nor would I want to. The check isn't big enough.
No, it's not.
Besides, they don't pay my taxes. It's a guy with a beard. You know that from the Three Stooges?
And who are they talking about?
The guy that pays their taxes, basically. The IRS, I take it, in the United States of America.
Right.
As opposed to our Revenue Canada. Which is the same thing over here.
Revenue Canada is not really the people who you pay your taxes to. It's a private agency, the Canadian Revenue Agency, which is a private business.
Right, but it's Revenue Canada that you actually will send your check to or whatever, isn't it?
They're the people who are going to take care of your money when you send them, yeah.
Under the news.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
And here we are in the studio newsroom.
CJammy newsroom.
CJammy. I wanted to talk a little bit about this story that I saw in USA Today, And that's about Detroit and its auto industry starting to roll again. A lot of people had forsaken Detroit.
Oh, that's not very nice to forsake your city.
Yeah, well, they kind of had given up on it. The Rust Belt and the auto industry failing and all that. But now several major companies, including Quicken Loans, Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Michigan, DTE Energy, they've moved their operations downtown, and they're seems to be kind of booming downtown, and a lot more new entrepreneurs and young people, talented creatives, are seem to be flocking to Michigan and or Detroit, really. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with just the fact that, I mean, some things are cheaper now, you know what I mean? The economy being the way it is and stuff like that. So now they can take advantage of some things that they wouldn't have been able to in the past. And Detroit, though, however, has always been a creative mecca.
Motown, probably one of the bigger creative things that came out of Detroit, that's for sure. Hitsville, USA.
Yeah.
Ted Nugent. Kid Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all music-related creative type stuff.
Right.
I know that there's a few television series that are also recorded in Detroit.
That 1-8-5-7-H-264. What is that police H-264. Show there?
264. I think it's 18. Is it Detroit 187? Is that what?
Yeah,
it is?
I think that might be what it is.
What,
yeah.
What is it? That's a guy's badge number or car number or something.
I don't know. That's
I don't know.
Maybe
either.
Some kind of CV call. 187. We've got a 187 in progress. I don't know. Maybe it's the address of the precinct. I have no idea.
I have no
really
idea.
I've never saw the show. Is it good? Did you see it?
I've never seen one episode of that. No.
I'd like to though.
And then there's Hung, which is another Detroit based series as well. It's about a guy who sells his body.
I know some people that have been in that, but I haven't seen that either.
Oh, you haven't seen an episode?
No, he sells his body, and does it take place in Detroit, mm-hmm. basically? Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Sells his body in Detroit.
To women who have money. So it's all the women who live in Grosse Pointe.
All right. That's where the money is.
I think
so. That's
where
I hang out.
No, you don't.
Paul McCartney got married again, eh?
Yes, he did, eh?
Eh? It's a Canadian thing, eh?
It's a Canadian thing. What do you think about that, getting married? What's her name?
How old is she? That's what I want to know. 20-something?
She's younger than him, let's just put it that way. Imagine Paul McCartney married a woman his age.
Has he had some face work done and stuff there? He looks pretty good still for his age, but it does look like he's pulled back a little bit. But yeah, pretty good for him. Does she have both her legs, this one? Does this one have both her legs?
She has some legs, yes. And Sewell, isn't that her last name?
Oh, she's... Sewell, was it? Was it? Yes. She's some kind of supermodel or something, or Nancy Chevelle?
Chevelle.
Nancy. She's the one that designed the car for Chevrolet.
General Motors, yes. Chevelle, they were hot looking cars, that's for sure.
And Paul McCartney, of course. What band was he in?
Wings.
That's right. The Beatles. Beatles, Wings, and Paul McCartney on his own solo. 11 extra dates on his On the Run tour.
He's on the run for 11 more dates. But what do you think about him?
I think it's great he's touring. What do I think about his marriage?
Yeah.
All the more power to him. Wouldn't you want to marry an 18-year-old when you're 90? Yes, you would.
He's not 90.
Yeah, well,
and she's not 17 either. But anyway, yeah.
But anyway, that's Paul McCartney there for you. Married again, and I think it's great for him. I do.
Me too, as well. Mm-hmm. In Canada here, we have a airline that is owned by the people.
Oh, here's our intern. Oh, there goes our intern.
No coffee for you.
What's that?
In Canada here, we have an airline that is owned by you and myself.
Mm-hmm.
We pay taxes.
We own them.
Yes.
We fly them. And if anybody needs a ride, let us know.
Air Canada.
JD and Ippo Airlines.
No, it's Air Canada. And the flight attendants, which I think there's 6,800 flight attendants who work for Air Canada, have issued a 72-hour strike notice. And you know what the government had to say? We will not tolerate a strike by Air Canada. What does that mean? We're going to fire everybody? Nah, I don't think so. So the Conservative government has weighed in twice already this year to halt the labor action at Air Canada by starting to draft back-to-work legislation. How can you draft back-to-work legislation? It would be like me wanting to strike, and I build cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to make me go back to work with a law. Let's make some laws so these people can't go on strike. They're flying planes. They're not nurses or
police
firemen.
Police will be here making you go back to work, dragging you
exactly
down there.
What the heck? You'd be breaking the law. You can't go on strike. this is the beginning, in my opinion,
of the end.
Some kind of totalitarian rule that we got here in Canada. When the flight attendants of an airline can't go on strike, and it's all they want is to get paid for when they're not flying, but they're still at work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they get to a place, they got to sit around for whatever, 2 hours, get ready and stuff, and they don't get paid for that time. Mm-hmm. They're only getting paid for the time that they're actually on the plane.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those labor negotiations and what happens. It's Thursday's the day that the 72 hours is up, so it'll be interesting.
And that's the show, so we'll have information on that maybe the following week. One last story, though. Of course, Steve Jobs passed away.
Yes, that took place the day before our last show actually aired. Me and Big JD, of course, are huge Apple fans, and we own many Apple products, and he has affected our lives in some way or another with the products that he and his company have built.
Absolutely.
And actually, a lot of the stuff that comes out of Apple influences many other technologies that are out there, and you know, I think everybody sees the effect of Apple. The very different company as far as a tech company goes. He was the man who ran the company, absolutely. Whereas, you know, some CEOs, they delegate a lot of power, which he did as well, but he also had his hands in a lot of the day-to-day stuff and the color of a product, or, you know, a shade of gray that had to be somewhere. Like, he was interested in that. Not only was he interested, he was adamant about it, because he put himself in the shoes of the consumer, and he thought, how's the consumer going to relate to this product?
And now we're going to get into today's topic, and today's topic on the show is collecting and collections.
Not to be confused with hoarding.
True.
And I think we'll discuss that today.
This is more like the hobbyist type thing.
Sure. But some people consider their hobby of collecting, but when you or I walk into their collection, we say, oh my goodness, this person's a hoarder.
That's right.
They went too far or whatever, you know what I mean?
Why do people collect at all?
Why do people collect? There's some kind of mindset that says, I want to have a bunch of these and show them off, I think is what it is. You collect stuff to show people, do you not? You don't collect it to put it in a drawer somewhere, do you?
I guess so. Are there some things that people do collect that they do not show off and that you just put away? I think there's that too sometimes. I think that there's probably people that have a collection of something in a closet somewhere and don't show anybody. I just collect these. I like them. It's not for display. Maybe.
I think those people who have that thing going on, I think those people actually enjoy their collection. They enjoy their collection. They go to it and go through it and catalog it and index, and they make sure that there's the same amount, and it's like an organization exercise that they really enjoy. So they have something to organize. Their life doesn't have any of that aspect in it, you know, depending on what their job is, if they have kids or whatever. So they have this collection of things that they really enjoyed, or it was something that they wanted to have a lot of, or they wanted one of them when they were a kid, and they didn't get it. So later on in life, they...
It comes down to being a hobby of some kind, sort of, I guess. You know what I mean?
It's a hobby, yes, I agree. And I think the art or the activity of actually collecting something, you know, you have to either order it online, go out and buy stuff, research a lot of stuff to see when certain things came out and see what the value is. And so it's almost like a job, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that people collect. And just, you know, to name a million of them, no, a few of them. I mean, people collect coins, obviously stamps. Those are things that are pretty common, coins and stamps, and match books or boxes, I guess.
Yeah.
Something I did when I was younger. Don't ask me why. I have no idea why. And keychains.
I did it to get a badge.
A badge?
Yeah.
Oh, what was the badge?
Collector's badge.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about collecting.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
So we're talking about collecting on the show today. We are talking a little bit about some of the things that people actually collect, but people can collect anything. They can collect clothes, I guess, and things like that as well.
Absolutely. Vintage clothes especially. I have a friend of mine, Jennifer. She did have a store, a vintage store. But then the store closed down. She took some of the best stuff that was left in the store after it closed And then she brought some of that home, but she still was always on the hunt for vintage clothes. Mm-hmm. A lot of vintage anything, vintage suitcases, and I think even bought a suitcase off her at one point in time.
Right.
So she has a collection of suitcases. She knows a lot about vintage suitcases. She knows a lot about vintage clothes as well. So people like her collect clothes based on, you know, a certain time period and the way it was designed or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's certain types of clothes that are, a lot of people go out and look for that kind of stuff.
Vintage type things.
As opposed to, you know, vintage could be like Victorian or Elizabethan or something. That would be vintage.
Elizabethan. Too. Whoa. Pulled that right out of a hat.
No, I didn't. I pulled that out of my mouth.
Slap knives, them. Spoons, especially spoons, I think.
Spoons tend to be a touristy thing. You can go to
gift
shops.
Why a spoon from anywhere?
I bet you there's a story behind that.
There's got to be.
Because, you know, you go to Niagara Falls or you go to the gift shop at some museum somewhere and they sell spoons for that place. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that concept either, but I'm sure there is a story behind that.
Guitar picks. People collect guitar picks. Maybe if you frequent
concerts
and things like that, then you collect picks from people and drumsticks or perhaps, or just paraphernalia from band, I guess, musicians.
Right. Did you ever get a guitar pick that was thrown on the audience and you were able to grab one?
I don't think so. I have a lipo pick. That's the extent of my pick collection.
That's hilarious. I should give you a King Friday pick too.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely. People can possibly collect stray animals.
No.
Do you think that's a collecting type hobby? Collecting stray animals, you know, that are around the neighborhood? And sometimes people have 20 cats because they picked them all up out the neighborhood.
Oh, that's sad.
Is that a collection?
It is, but it's on a different level.
If you stuff them and put them on the wall, that might be a collection.
Yes.
Yeah. Taxidermy style.
Okay, yep. Stuffed cats. That's a little creepy as well. I mean, cats.
Sounds like a dinner. Cats, a little something for Thanksgiving.
Stuffed cat.
Maybe in Korea.
Korea, yeah, sure.
Laos. They eat dog, though. Is that true? They eat dog?
I do believe they eat dog and cat.
Yeah. Okay.
Why wouldn't they? They're succulent.
I bet. Have you had them?
I've never had canine or feline.
And now, Morning Show Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by, well, by us, Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
This week's Morning Music Mayhem is me first in the Gimme Gimmies, and this song is My Favorite Things.
Like a dog bite, like a bee sting, I don't feel so fucking bad. Rains on sun roses and whiskers on kittens, like copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Two-colored ponies and crisp apple strudel, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on the wings. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. Then I don't feel so bad. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and my lashes, silver white roses that melt into spring. These are a few of my favorite things. Green-colored ponies and crisp apple strudel, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on the wing. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. Then I don't feel so bad. Yeah! Yeah!
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and stringing cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
And what are we talking about today on Tech Talk?
I think we're going to talk a little bit about tablet computing.
Ooh, love tablet computing.
Do you have a tablet yourself?
I do have a tablet, yep.
And you enjoy it?
I do. I have Apple's tablet. Of course, there are many different kinds, and some are kind of geared more towards a specific function. So it all depends on what your needs are as to what you might pick up in a tablet.
Absolutely.
Such as the Kindle is more a reader than anything, although they're becoming more and more futuristic now.
Futuristic. Yeah, they just came out with the Kindle Fire.
That's right.
Which is a color screen, whereas the older Kindles were just the e-ink.
Like a monochrome thing or something?
Well, it was just shades of gray, yeah.
Shades of gray.
So,
isn't that a song?
I think it's shades of something. Shades of Marley or something. So these screens that they used to have used to be very power efficient, because once the words were on your page, they were just there. There was no light to be emitted. So that was the cool thing about e-ink, whereas the new Amazon Kindle, or the Kindle Fire, is just a regular capacitive touchscreen, just like, you know, your phones are, and the iPad as well is the same thing. So yeah, I wanted to talk about the tablet computing landscape that we live in now. We have tons of Android-based tablets out there that are trying to compete with the Apple iPad, which...
It's not possible. Enough said. Moving right along.
No, it is possible to compete.
Yeah, they can compete, but they'll never match.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's what they're trying to do. That's what your HTCs and your Motorolas and your BlackBerry Playbooks are all trying to match what the Apple iPad is doing, because they own a good chunk of the tablet market out there. Mm-hmm. So I think what Amazon is doing with their Kindle Fire is they're not even going that route. For one thing, it's a smaller form factor. It's 7 inches. And it does run on Android, but they've totally rewrote that. It, like, that's the base for it, but it doesn't resemble anybody else's version of Android. And so what they've done is they've made it more of a media consumption device, and they say this is nothing but a media consumption device, plus you're gonna be able to surf the web as well and buy your toilet paper off Amazon, your guitar cables, and whatever else you buy on Amazon. You're going to be able to do that very easily as well through your device. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're going to be able to read books, which is, you know, more media consumption as well. So you'll be able to listen to some music, read your books, watch your movies, your TV shows, and all the stuff that they offer on their website. So it's not trying to be an iPad in so much that, hey, we're going to sell this for $200, whereas you can't even get into an iPad under $500. So they're taking that segment of the market, which is a great idea, I think. Why try to be
with a niche, you know what I mean? If you need something for that specifically, but if you need something full featured, obviously you have to look elsewhere. But then there wasn't HP selling off things for super cheap, getting out of the market?
HP sold their
ThinkPad. What is it called? Think something? ThinkBook? Think junk? What was it called?
That's interesting you said. It's a BlackBerry Playbook and the HP
ThinkMaster 2000.
Yeah, it's the ThinkMaster 2000. That's what it is. It's such a flash in the pan. I'm sorry. And all these names just are.
We can't say it on air anyway.
So yeah, they got out of it. And I think, would they sell them for $100, $99 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
It was crazy cheap.
Might be able to find one now still crazy for cheap. $20.
I think Amazon is actually taking a hit on this, but they're going to be selling tons of stuff, streaming lots of content to these devices, whereas Apple's not saying that. They're saying, we don't care. We're making a ton of cash off these iPads, even though I think the low end, they're not making as much money as they are on the higher capacity iPads. I think they're taking a bit of it as well, or making minimal amounts of dollars. So Amazon's just going a different route, which I think is the way to go. Don't try to be...
There's no choice but to go that way now. So
really, because Apple has really defined the market. In fact, I'm doing the show right now. I'm using a Bluetooth keyboard and my iPad for running my show.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. So today on the show, we're talking about collecting, collectors. We still have some time to discuss that a little bit.
Collective soul.
Collecting, collections. Yes, collective souls. Somebody collects souls. You wouldn't want to meet them.
Why? Isn't it God?
Do we collect things related to what we know or like? You're a musician. Do you collect music type things? And is that maybe the only type of things that you collect? You know, something that you're into, is that what you collect? Or if you're into music or something like that, do you collect stamps? You know what I mean?
Sure. I think it has a lot to do with what happened when you're a kid. I think your mindset when you're a kid, either you really liked something and you're into it, like comic books. Mm-hmm. I know full grown men who still got to get the latest comic book and they put it in the plastic sleeve until they get home, and then they read it very carefully. They, you know, they go through the whole thing and actually read the comic book.
Can they
book.
Really get into, like, it's 40, 50 years old now, reading the new Superman comic or whatever, you know what I mean?
That's... Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think those, a lot of those people are geeks or science fiction nuts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because obviously you're not going to take it as a serious piece of fiction, you know, some green guy named the Hulk or whatever the new comic books are. I have no idea what's going on in comic
book. Oh, yes, don't let them fool you.
And, it's, you know, as far as that goes, stuff like we were just talking about, the tablet computing, you can get a lot of comic books right on the tablets. Now you don't even have to collect the paper.
Yeah, it's cool now how you can, yeah, you can actually collect the digital comics now.
And that's another thing that a lot of people do. They collect stuff digitally now.
Yeah, like what else?
Movies, like okay, sure. Yeah. People collect
music, their I guess.
Yeah, and music as well. They collect their pirated or store bought and stuff, and they put it somewhere and they save it somewhere. They collect it as if they're gonna maybe use it again.
Maybe watch it again.
Yeah.
Do you watch movies twice ever? I don't.
Only the really, really good ones.
Yeah, I guess it's got to be something really good. Did you ever see the TV show Flakes? With that Zoe chick?
Never saw Flakes.
It kind of springs to mind because the guy actually collects cereal, which is odd because he serves cereal. And I saw a couple episodes and some particular guy brings him cereal that he gets like from eBay or somewhere. Like they, you know, find cereal that is, they don't make anymore, but they serve it. So I'm thinking, how good can that be if it's been years and years since they've made this cereal, but they put it up on the shelf and someone can come in and eat that cereal, which is kind of odd actually, but it's really cool. Just the idea of this place. And it takes place, I think, in Seattle, and it's a little breakfast nook that has huge wall of different kinds of cereal. And you can just go in there and have cereal in the morning. So it's like really cool looking, man. It's like,
is there
a real place like that? It'd be awesome.
That you would think, is it fresh? I guess would be the first thing you think of. Because stale cereal.
Yeah, something like that. Like, they're not all, like, rare cereals, but some of them are, and that's, like, just that part of it was kind of weird. So, you know. And do people always collect things that are worth money?
No, I don't think so. I think there's some people collect things that they just like to collect.
Like, yeah, I think you're right.
Like shoes or pieces of like, rocks. I know a guy who collects rocks. No, he goes to different places, or he has friends who go to different places, says, pick up a rock for me while you're in wherever you just went to.
And now it's time for Quotes and Quips.
Quotes and Quips, formerly, what was it called before?
It was
the Jabber Quote.
Jabber Quote, yes.
You can still go to thejabbercast.com, check out past Jabbercast shows that Lippo and I did, which we stopped doing now that we do the morning show here, CJAM. This week on Quotes and Quips is something from Ernest Rutherford. You know who Ernest Rutherford is?
Yeah, that was Mr. Haney's brother on
That's all. Green Acres. I don't even know what this means, where you're going with it. A scientist from New Zealand, originally born on August 30th, 1871, died October 19th, 1937. And he says this, and on Quotes and Quips, what we do is we kind of dissect some kind of a quote or saying, and he says, all science is either physics or stamp collecting. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean it's science is something really, either it's really difficult or it's just something almost like simple?
I think he's being silly because all science is not physics, obviously. Or is he saying that stamp collecting is math?
Wow, now you really got us going around the block.
Well, I'm just going to say,
I don't know, that's that's really thinking.
I know, I mean, science is, well, there's math involved, biology, physics.
You know, either physics or stamp collecting.
So I'm thinking the stamp collecting part is the math part. He's thinking like he's equating that anything that isn't physics is like stamp collecting. So you're just keeping track of stuff or adding this to this or making a formula where all these stamps do this and it creates this kind of thing.
So that all boils down to what I said. Either it's really difficult or it's really simple.
That's what it boils down to.
I don't know.
To.
That's what I'm thinking, right? That's an odd quote. Would you call that a quip? Actually, I'm still trying to get over the quip thing. Lippo came up with the name.
That's more quippy.
Anyways, we're pretty much out of time here on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning, and we'll see you next Thursday morning at 8 o'clock.
Thanks a lot for listening.
See ya.
We hope you have a great day, and be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place, for Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.